Good morning. Is this on? Yeah, I guess it is. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. How many answered an altar call while that song was playing? Am I the only one? Not another one up there. There's a few of us. I love that song. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence here, and we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each one of us, Lord, that no, we are not perfect yet, but you are perfecting. You are changing us from glory to glory, Lord. Lord, I just pray for your presence here. I just pray, Lord, that you'd open heaven for us, Lord, that your word would pour out and your spirit would fill this place, Lord. Fill our hearts with your love and fill our hearts with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Linda and I went to Yuma yesterday. We went down there hoping to get a pallet of toilet paper, but they were sold out. Can you believe what's going on? Not a lot of faith in the world, is there? Actually, we went down there to do some shopping. We saw a movie. A movie about faith. It's a good movie. I recommend it. It's called I Still Believe. It's about Jeremy Camp. Really good movie. What'd you say? You don't know why that chair is there? Is that chair there? How many people believe there's a chair up front? Does that mean we believe in the chair? I don't know about you, but there's been times when I sat in a chair and it didn't hold me. So that doesn't mean I believe in the chair, but I believe it's there. Why do I believe it's there? Because I can see it. Now, I think it looks sturdy enough. I could probably walk over and I could sit down on it. Hey, nothing bad happened, right? So that kind of adds to my faith in that chair. But yeah, faith in an object isn't what saves us, is it? We're supposed to have faith. God wants faith, but that doesn't mean we have faith in everything of the world. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for us. Now, I could be standing there and someone could put that chair behind me and say, go ahead, Wayne, sit down. I may not believe that that chair is there that much. I might be kind of reluctant to do it. Why? Because I can't see it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verses, I'm going to read the same thing Wayne read earlier, the other Wayne. In case you're confused, there's two of us. I'm Wayne, and that's my brother Wayne up there. He's the one that controls the sound here. He has a lot of power in this sanctuary. He can shut me off anytime he wants. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is faith? Faith is believing God. Very simple. When is faith? It tells us when faith is. It says now faith is. Whenever you need it, that's when faith is. When the world seems to be falling apart, when people are taking essential things out of the store and hoarding them. And we have to believe that God will provide all our needs, right? Because the Word says it will. What does faith require? There's three things that faith requires. The first thing that faith requires is knowledge. A man cannot believe what he does not know. What's a chair? Well, I know what a chair is. So it makes it easier to me to believe that it's there. Easier for me to believe it's there. I read a story about a man that was asked, "What do you believe?" His answer, "I believe what the church believes." "Well, what does the church believe?" "The church believes what I believe." "Well, what do you in the church believe?" "Well, me and the church believe the same thing." We have to know what we believe, don't we? How do we know what we believe? We do it by studying His Word. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Romans 10:14-15, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It's not just what we believe in. It's who we believe in. Many of us have had experiences believing in the wrong things in our lives, haven't we? People have a tendency to let you down sometimes. Many times. "He that expected little shall not be disappointed." Sometimes that's true. Except in God's case. Second thing that faith requires is agreement. We have to agree with what we know. But we have to believe the source. And we have to believe the truthfulness of that source. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Is the word of God the truth? Jesus says it is. And John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." He is talking to the Father. But it has to go beyond that, doesn't it? It has to rise up in our hearts. It has to ring true. It has to be placed in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Read it and read it again over and over. The more we read it, the more we know that we know that we know that we believe. Paul says, "I am persuaded." Many times he said that. We are persuaded too here, right? Anybody here persuaded? Amen. The third thing that faith requires is, I think I'm going to pronounce this word right. No, I'm not sure. I clicked on the little speaker thing. It showed how to pronounce it. It's affiance. A-F-F-I-A-N-C. Now that's a word we hear all the time, isn't it? Somebody said no. Actually, we get the word fiance from it. It's A-F, then it's the rest of it spelled out, fiance. It means to be attached to take hold of, to grasp, to claim as your own, to be engaged to be committed to be promised to, and to be resting on that promise. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the world has its own definition of the word hope. They make it like wish. I hope the sun shines tomorrow. But yet in the Bible, that's not the way it's applied. That's not the way it's used. Hope is a definite thing. Hope is like faith. Faith is believing God, past, present, or future, good and bad. But hope is believing God for a future good. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about the hope that we have of eternal life, that God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. The hope, it's a definite thing. It's something that we grab hold of, that we grasp of, something we attach ourselves to. It's that real to us. That chair is real because we see it. But yet we don't see God. But we see the way He moves in our lives and in other people's lives. We see the things He does. And we can feel Him inside us. We know in our hearts that He's real. We know that we know that we know. Do you have faith? It's test time. I'm going to ask you three questions. Do you rely at all on your own righteousness for your salvation? Wouldn't get you very far, would it? And yet a lot of people do. A lot of people think, well, I have to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes from that, but I also have to do this and this and this and this, and I got to... Yeah. But that's not how it works. That's performance. Every other religion in the world is based on performance. Think about it. Yet Christianity, it's based on performance too. But it's not based on our performance, it's based on His performance, what He did for us. And that's where faith comes in. Believing that that's sufficient for us. Do you love Jesus? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that's in you. It's easy to do. Just do it and it increases. Do you obey Jesus? Well, but that's evidence of our faith, isn't it? It's not how we get salvation, but it's evidence of our faith. James 2:17 and 20, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may see, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Some people think that there's a contradiction between what Paul taught and what James taught. Actually, what Paul teaches is our salvation. It's between us and God. But what James is talking about is our witness to the world. A man may ask, it says. How does the world know that we have faith? By the things we do. By the love we have. By the presence of God in our life. Faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the title deed. It's the evidence. But faith isn't really faith until it's put in action. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, built an ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of his homeland, went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, leaning on his staff. By faith, Joseph commanded concerning what was to be done with his bones. By faith, Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Jericho fell. By faith, the harlot Rahab didn't perish for those who didn't believe. That's all in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And there's a lot more in there too. In fact, it goes on to say, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edges of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. These are the heroes of faith. Are they any different than we are? We have a tendency sometimes to look at some of these people as if they have great big S's on their chest. They're not supermen. Elijah wasn't a superman. It says in James that he was a man like we were, yet he prayed. He believed. He knew who he served. Faith actually becomes a part of our being. It grows in us. The more it's exercised, the more we practice faith. And the more God shows himself faithful, the more it becomes a part of us. I'm going to give you two examples. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is imprisoned by Herod. He's scheduled to have his head cut off the next day. What's he doing? I think about what would I be doing if I knew someone was going to cut my head off the next day. He was sleeping. He was sleeping so soundly that the angel had to hit him to wake him up. And even then, he was so groggy with sleep, it didn't really come to him what was happening until they made it out to the street past all the gates. Now, how could he sleep so soundly, knowing what he was facing? Because you go back in time a little bit before that, John 21, 18 and 19, Jesus said to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Jesus told him he was going to be crucified when he was old. So I can imagine Peter laying down thinking, well, I'm not old yet. And cutting off my head, that's not the way it's going to be, so I'm going to go to sleep. He believed it, didn't he? He believed it very, very strongly because God's promises are true. Acts 28, 3 through 5. Paul had been shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked 3 or 4 times. And this is when he was on his way to Rome, and they ended up on an island. And when there arose a great dissent, 28, 3 through 5. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He just looked at it and shook it off and it just went into the fire. A poisonous snake. You go back a little bit in time, Acts 23, 10 through 11, and when there, he was in Jerusalem, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He believed the Lord's promise. He grasped hold of it. He says, I'm not in Rome yet, so this isn't going to happen. The Lord isn't going to
because God is faithful. He keeps His promise. He refused to let go of those promises. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. There's going to be many in the last day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things for you? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they had no faith. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is. Those that come to Him. Yes, He draws us to Him, and we have to answer that call, don't we? When He beckons us, we have to respond. We can't come to Him without Him calling us. Those that come to Him must believe that He is. Moses asked the Lord, who are you? Who do I say sent me? And the Lord said, I am that I am. Tell them, I am sent you. I am? I am what? God's saying, I am everything I need to be and everything you need me to be. Those that come to Him must believe that He is. That He is what? He's everything He needs to be and everything we need to be. He's the all-sufficient one. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What kind of rewarder is He? There's many examples I can use, but I'm going to use one in Ephesians 1:7-8. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, that's quite a bit. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He has abounded toward us. Literally, it means He has lavished on us, because that's the way the Lord works. He doesn't just give us a little bit. He lavishes what He has for us on us. A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jeremiah 29:12-14 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Do you know what that means? Literally, it means ever-increasing amounts each time we come. It doesn't just mean a one-time thing. His mercy, His faithfulness, it's new every morning. Every time we come to Him, there's more mercy for us than there was the last time. Where sin abounds, His grace abounds even more. God is good, isn't He? God is good. Well, I'm glad you guys all came out this morning. You weren't worried about all the germs in the air. You know, some people are laughing about it. Some people are in fear, hiding in their closet. You know, I just can't go out there. But we know our God. We know our God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray that You'd bless this word to our hearts, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that You'd just fill us with more. More of You, Lord, as we seek You with all our hearts. May we receive from You more and more. Because that's what it's all about. Lord, Your shelves are never empty. There's nothing there that needs to be restocked. You are a God of plenty. And You will provide all our needs. And we just thank You. We thank You, Lord, for this message. And we thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. We just pray, Lord, that presence continue to be with us as we go our way. you'd work in our hearts, Lord, and you'd help us be everything you want us to be. Be glorified, Lord, in our day. Go with us, Lord, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you.